He who is in you is greater. Who is in us? Well, it's supposed to be God in us. It's supposed to be Christ in us, isn't it? We're supposed to allow God to be working through us, to be living in us. The Bible talks about sanctify God, sanctify Christ in your hearts. It talks about, you know, putting on Christ, but it also talks about Christ living in you. It talks about God being in you and working through you. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Just a sidelight there. You know, everybody's still talking about, well, the Antichrist is coming, the Antichrist is coming. John says it's already here. So I don't know why they're still waiting for it. It's been here for 2,000 years just about. Verse 4 though, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Because, how are we going to overcome? Well, sometimes we sing the song about faith is the victory, faith overcomes the world, he said it, yeah. But what does he say here? "You're of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Now, of course, we've got to make sure that he is in us. We've got to make sure that we're not double agents who actually have the same one in us that the world has in them. We don't want to be like that. He is in us. As we get started thinking about this, not a whole lot of snow skiing goes on in Mississippi. But when I grew up in Colorado, and I grew up in Colorado, I was in Colorado until I was in 8th grade. Graduated 8th grade in Colorado. And I never went snow skiing. Isn't that a shame? That's expensive though. It costs a lot of money to buy all that stuff. But they've got a new thing that's been going on. I guess it's probably been for a while. They're fun going skiing down the hill, but then you got to get back up to the top if you want to go again. Well, they found a way though to make it fun. And yeah, you can ride the ski lift thing and go back up there. But they found a way that by attaching a parachute type sail to themselves, they can ski uphill, let the wind catch them. Especially works on the one side of the mountain where the wind blows up, not so much on the side where it blows down. But then they can go back up the mountain skiing with the wind. Sounds like it might be kind of fun, although probably a little dangerous too. But that's what makes a lot of things fun for a lot of people, isn't it? The exhilaration, the adrenaline rush. That's why people ride the roller coasters and things. They like that. Well, sometimes we feel like, and in fact it should be, that our path toward heaven is uphill. It's an uphill battle. And going uphill is not nearly as much fun. Whether you're running or whether you're climbing stairs or whatever, it's not fun going up. It's hard. But do you realize that if we learn to use God's wind, so to speak, to compare it back to the skiing thing, if we'll do that, then what used to be a drudgery can turn into a delight. If we'll just let that wind catch us. See, God's promise is they'll mount up with wings like the eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Can you imagine running and not getting tired? I mean, if I ran from here to the back of the auditorium, I'd be tired and out of breath. Some of you are in better shape than that. You run those 5Ks and 10Ks and all these things, and some of you probably could run a marathon. But still, when you run, you do get tired. But God said, We can run and not get weary. How is that possible? It's possible by His power. Because He is greater than the one that's in the world. And that's why we need Him. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 through 31 talks about that. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Now you think about that. He has so much power that He can give us power. He can give us His strength. And yet He Himself still never gets tired. Now sometimes people think about, well, on the seventh day God rested. Well, He must have been tired from all that work, all that week creating everything. No, He wasn't. In fact, if you look back at the Hebrew, it really just means God ceased. He rested in the sense of stopping His creative activity. Didn't mean He was tired and sleepy and needed a nap. He never gets tired. Never gets weary. That must have been something for Jesus to come to earth and take on flesh and actually get tired and need to sleep. Wonder what that would have been like. To have existed through all eternity, never getting tired, never getting weary, never needing to sleep. And then to come to this earth and have to sleep and have to sit down and rest and to be weary. But God never gets weary. And He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like the eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. So Isaiah gives us that promise from God. If we will trust in Him, if we will wait on Him, and we will take advantage of the power that He offers, the things that we can do. See, God's power is the ultimate power. We need to take advantage of this ultimate power. You know, a story is told of the person who lived in a house that was wired with electricity, and yet they never turned on a light switch. They never plugged anything into an outlet. They never used any of the electricity that was in that house. What good did it do them? They might as well have been living in a house without electricity because they didn't use the power that was available to them. Now, the good news is they didn't get a big electric bill because they didn't use any of it. But you still get some kind of bill just for having it hooked up. But the thing is, as Christians, we have available to us God's power. So much more powerful than electricity. But are we going to plug into it? Are we going to allow that power to surge through us? Now, electricity, you don't want surging through you. That'll kill you. But God's power can surge through us and make us stronger. Do we want that? Do we recognize His power? How many times do we go out and try to do things ourselves instead of turning to Him for His power? He has the ultimate power. 1 John 4:4, He tells us again, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He is the greatest. There's no one greater than Him. Ephesians 1:17 through 21 tells us that the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Notice that, not just power, not even just great power, but exceeding great power. It's an amazing thing. His power goes beyond great. It exceeds that. In verse 20, it finishes that verse, toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Exceeding greatness of His power, according to His mighty power. He emphasizes it again. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and sealed Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the world which is to come. You realize, you know, when we think about might and power, a lot of times many of us might think of the United States military. We might think of a nuclear weapon. We think about power. We think about might. You know, when we think about a nuclear weapon like the ones that the United States dropped during World War II to end that war with Japan. Destroyed entire cities, and we think, wow, what power. One bomb destroyed those huge cities. You realize that God's light bulb, the sun, has within it every second a multitude greater number of nuclear explosions going on. So many, so massive, so powerful. Just so that we'll have light. That's His light bulb. That's not His bomb. That's just His light bulb. His light bulb is a million times more powerful than the most powerful weapon we human beings have come up with. That's just His light bulb. That's just the sun. And you think about the level of power that He has when you consider that even that is more powerful than anything that we could do or even could imagine trying to do. Our faith should be in the power of God. We've got to have faith in that power. You know, how many times do we put our trust in ourselves? We say, oh no, I can do this. I can handle this. Why do we do that? Why do we trust ourselves? Why do we trust other people? And yet we don't put our trust and our faith in the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, we think we're going to figure some way out. We're going to figure it out on our own. We're going to be smarter than God. We're going to find a way. No. Our faith needs to be in the power of God. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And what is that? That's in essence believing the gospel. As Paul says in Romans 1 that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And we're not just talking about salvation here. That's a power that we need to believe in as well. That's a power that we need to trust. Have faith in God's power to save us. But you know, all that power, we talked about nuclear weapons a while ago. They're a great power, but they're not available to you and me. We couldn't go get one if we wanted to. At least we shouldn't. If anybody did, they'd quickly get into big trouble. They're not available to us. But God's power, which is so much greater, God's power is available to us. And that's the beauty of it. You know, to know that there's great power out there, that's nice to know. But to have access to that power. Have you ever been out of electricity when your neighbor down the road had it? That can be frustrating. The power, There's great electricity, great power right down the road. And I can't get any. Mine's not turned on. Mine's turned off. That can be frustrating. God's power is available to each and every one of us. We need to take advantage of that. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now you think about that. It would be one thing if God could do what we ask. That'd be pretty impressive. If he could just do what we ask, everything we ask. That'd be pretty impressive. But He's not able to just do what we ask. He's able to do above that. Not just above that, but abundantly above that. And not even that, but exceedingly abundantly above that. But not even that. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above not just the things we ask, but even anything we can think or imagine. The things that we're too scared to ask Him for because we think, oh, well He'd never do that. He's able to do that and more. He's able to do so much more. Johnny Ramsey, preacher from Texas a generation ago, once said, "No one has ever gotten all they could get from God because no one has ever prayed and asked for everything they could have asked for from God." Sometimes when we go to God in prayer and ask Him for things, we ask sometimes for such puny things. We need to pray with a big faith, with the idea in mind that we're praying to a big God. We're not asking the city council or the mayor or the local sheriff or the governor or something like that. We're asking the Creator of the universe. On one occasion, when God's power was questioned, His response to the one who was questioning it was, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" That was when Abraham didn't believe that he was going to have a son. He's like, "Oh, but I'm 100 years old. I can't have a child. Sarah's 90 years old." Oof. That is scary to think about, you know, 90 and 100 years old and having a baby. That's pretty scary to think about. But it's amazing that they questioned God, they doubted God, and He said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Nothing. God's power is available to us. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. "For this reason we also, since the day you heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." And 2 Thessalonians 1, also verses 11 and 12, "We also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the amazing thing about God's power is that God's power works in our weakness. We may think, well, if I'm strong enough, I can handle God's power. No, no. That's not the way it works. You know, if you send too much electricity through something, it'll destroy it. But not God's power. God can send His power into something that's weak, and instead of destroying it, it will make the thing that's weak stronger. It will give that thing that had no power, power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, if we could do it ourselves, we wouldn't need God's power. But we can't do it ourselves. We need to quit thinking we can. We mock God when we talk about, "Oh, I'm going to do it myself." No. It's God's power. And if I can do it at all, it will be through God's power. 2 Corinthians 4:7. "We have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him. We must take advantage of the power of God. All the power in the universe is useless to us if we don't take advantage of it. I've heard stories about people who were millionaires, but they're living on the street in a cardboard box, pushing a cart full of junk around. They had millions of dollars in the bank, and they're homeless. That money wasn't doing them a bit of good. And so many times, God's children are living like they're powerless and helpless when we've got access to His power. If we just take advantage of it. It's like that person who lived in that house and never plugged anything in, never turned on a switch. We've got to take advantage of it. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 talks about how wicked people would become. In verse 5, he then says, after listing all these evil things, he says, "having a form of godliness but denying its power." How many Christians have a form of godliness? Well, they go to church. They don't do any really bad things. They have a form of godliness. But they're denying God's power in their lives to really change them. If the only difference in us from before we were Christian to after we're Christian is, well, we go to church, then God's power hasn't affected our lives. His power is the power that turns a wiggly little caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. Are we allowing that power to transform us in that kind of way? To turn us from this lowly little worm into something beautiful that can fly? Or are we just like, well, you know, as long as He just makes me a better worm. I don't know about you, I don't want to be a worm. I want to be the butterfly. I don't want to be the caterpillar. 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, we've talked before about the dangers that may be coming in our own country. And we know that there's persecution of Christians around the world. Some of them are even killed for Christ. And that's nothing new. They were in the first century as well. And sometimes we get overcome with fear. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, we're so afraid. God didn't give the spirit of fear, but power. Ephesians 6:10 through 17, he talks about the armor that we have that gives us the power to stand. That whole armor of God, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil and be strong in the power of His might. God's power can bring us through all problems. Notice, bring us through the problems. Doesn't mean we avoid the problems. Doesn't mean it protects us from ever having to face problems. That's not the way God's power works. But gives us the strength to make it through the problems. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10. "We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We can go through anything if we have God's power on our side. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10 also. He talks about the sufferings he'd been through, the stripes, the imprisonments, the sleepless nights, the fasting, the dangers of sea, of wild animals, all these things that he was endangered by. And yet, he still didn't lose his faith in God. He was still able, by the power of God, to overcome those things, to make it through to the other side. The poem, perhaps you've heard before, "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I was asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." You know, there are two types of strength. There is the strength of the wind that sways the mighty oak tree. And there is the strength of the oak that withstands the power of the wind. There's the strength of the locomotive that pulls the heavy train across the bridge. And the strength of the bridge that holds up the weight of that train. One is an active strength, a working strength. The other is a passive strength. One is the power to keep going. The other, the power to keep still. One is the strength by which we overcome. The other, the strength by which we endure. And God grants us both of those kinds of strength when we need them, if we'll depend on Him for that strength and for that power. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Paul said he had learned, whatever circumstances he was in, hungry or full, poor or rich, being abased or being lifted up, no matter what, he had learned to be content. And he says in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Are you taking advantage of the power God has provided for you? Are you living each day with Christ in you, strengthening you? Now, sometimes we may feel like the little kitty cat. We may feel overwhelmed by such a huge and powerful world all around us. But if we have within us the power of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, we can withstand and we can conquer and we can overcome. If you don't have that power in you today, get it in there. If you have access to that power as a Christian, but you've not been taking advantage of that power, you haven't been going to God when you needed Him to receive that power, what are you waiting for? Come back to Him. Ask Him for that strength and that power. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for whatever reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.